Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining the conference call today in regard to Ping An's 2014, the third quarter results presentation. Mr. Jason Yao, Executive Director, Senior Vice President and CFO, Chief Actuary of Ping An, and Ms. Amy Chou, Vice President of Ping An Bank, will be attending today's call. This call will be conducted in English and will last for 45 minutes. Mr. Yao will begin with a presentation of the 2014 third quarter results, which will be followed by a Q&A session. Questions will be taken in English, and the management will answer in English. Mr. Yao, please.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure. I will give a very brief introduction of our third quarter results, then we can open up questions too, right? I think in the first three quarters of 2014, Ping An achieved quite outstanding performance. We maintained a very stable and healthy growth in terms of our overall performance. For example, our net profit attributable to the shareholders of the parent company increased by 35.8% over the same period last year. Also our equity belonging to the shareholders of the parent company increased by 19.7% over the beginning of the year. The total assets, we reached about 3.86 trillion, up by 14.9% over the beginning of the year. In particular, I think our insurance business, for example, life business, maintained the steady and healthy growth. As you can see, the total premium increased by 15.4%. Individual life business grew quickly and premium up 14.3%. For the first time during the quarter disclosure, we also disclosed the new business of the agency business, which we had also had a very strong growth in the first three quarters. The new business up by 19.9%. Overall, the life business growth momentum is very strong. P&C business growth is also very healthy and steady. Total premium increased 25.8%. At the same time, combined ratio for the three quarters was at level like 90.9%, which is still very good. On the banking business side, I think overall the banking business maintained a steady growth and also with very strong profit growth. At the same time, we maintained an improving asset and liability structure, and also saw a significant rise in profitability and asset quality is overall at a manageable level. As you can see, the Ping An Bank profit increased by 34.2%. In particular, the growth momentum is quite strong for our deposit growth, which is about 23.9%. Loan growth is about 17.2% over the beginning of the year. I think on the asset quality side, Ping An Bank follow a very stringent risk management structure. It actively supports the real economy to ensure sound operation. Non-performing loan balance was close to 9.7 billion, and that is up 29.5%. NPL ratio 0.98%, up by 9 basis points over the beginning of the year. Loan loss provision ratio is 1.89%, up by 0.1% over the beginning of the year. Provision coverage ratio 191.8%. Overall, I think we're still going to pay a very close attention to the asset quality and still to strengthen the risk management of the assets. At the same time, we would
focus or put a great effort to both some of the panels and even collect or recover some of the panels. We will spend continue to spend a great effort to improve on that aspect. Then I think the other business, which is the trust business, the growth is also quite strong. AUM increased about 30, I think it's 29.9%. And also our individual high net worth customers exceed 29,000. That is up almost 34% over the beginning of the year. And also during this time, we strengthened the disclosure of the trust business. And in particular, for example, we disclosed overall our real estate exposure is about 68 billion. And the main risk of them is driving the credit risk. So in order to cope with this credit risk, we had a very comprehensive front, middle, and back office approval system. And in particular, Jun Trust formed an independent post-investment asset management team dealing with the real estate trust project. And then we also designated directors and financial officers and engineering staff to each project to monitor the progress of those projects. So to establish an early warning system. Yeah. So, and also on the real estate project, the counterparty we work with is all relatively big real estate developers, and also over 80% of those ones had a term less than two years, etc. So I think going forward, we'll still pay a lot of attention on this aspect for the trust business as well. Then we also have the fourth pillar of our business, which we call the internet finance business. Also, we saw very rapid growth, and also in particular, the platform, the Lupex platform, the retail user exceeds 3 million already and it continues to grow on a monthly basis over 400,000 each month. New registered users were coming, and at the same time the trading volume almost 5 times over the same period last year. So I think this business has been growing quite strongly and also on a very good momentum. So overall, I think for the whole year, I think the company's overall growth, the momentum can still be maintained, and we are quite confident we should be able to deliver a strong financial performance for the whole year. I'm going to stop here, then we can open for questions. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will start the Q&A session. To allow more questions, please ask no more than one question at a time. Please also state your name and the name of your company before asking your question.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have any question at this time, please press star and then one on your telephone keypad. Then wait for your name to be announced. Thank you. The first question comes from Regent Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sergeant, I'm being here at Credit Suisse. The question I have is on the capital position. So your net assets in the quarter were up 7%. Your solvency ratio for the group was 187% at the end of the first half. So I would expect, given the movement in net assets, that to have improved somewhat in the third quarter. Can you give some color around that or the number?
I think the overall, the solvency ratio for the whole group is relatively stable for compared to the interim results. I think in a similar range. Of course, during the
during the quarter, there is demand for capital due to the strong business growth. But at the same time, our profit generation is also quite strong. Yeah. So overall, for the whole group, life business and the P&C business, the solvency ratio has been fairly steady. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question, please.
As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and 1. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and 1. Thank you. The next question comes from Charles Sloan. Please go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Lee. I'm sorry I've just got onto the call by now. So forgive me if this has been asked before. Could you tell us a bit about the PNC business? Or did anyone ask you about that? And could you break down your COR ratio into auto and non-auto, please?
I think overall, the PNC business, as you can see, it's quite the growth is quite robust, actually, from 5% growth in premium. At the same time, the COR is maintained at 94.9%. And usually, for P&C business, the second half combined ratio to some extent will be higher than the first half. The reason is mainly due to most of the catastrophic loss is going to be incurred in the second half due to flood and the typhoon, etc. But so far, we had a relatively peaceful third quarter. So the combined ratio is still at a very good level. For the quarterly disclosure, we don't disclose this design by business line. But I think during the annual results, we will have more disclosure and break down the COR between different business lines.
Okay. I don't think you disclose NEP at the third quarter, so one can only guess at COR for the third quarter. But I think your growth in premium was at the GWP basis and not NEP. So are you able to give us an indication of the Q3 COR?
Q3 COR for which business?
PNC?
PNC for 94.9%, that's for the overall business.
I thought that was for 9 months.
Yeah, that is for 9 months, yeah.
So can you break it down into Q3? I could try and do it myself, but you don't disclose any P, so I can't.
Oh, just for the third quarter. We don't disclose. You can do the calculation. I think you can get the number of numbers. Yeah,
closely.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, just as a general point, I noticed that PNAM's improving its disclosure with every result. I might recommend that you disclose COR quarterly and maybe break it down by division.
Yeah, we will try to improve the disclosure. So also, I take your point. In any particular quarter, you disclose the COR for one single quarter. But I think that usually, it's more meaningful to look at the cumulative number for the first three quarters.
All right. Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Regent Wang, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
This is hardly the answer, but obviously not an upcoming question. Can I ask a question on the bank, probably for Amy? So in two parts really. Firstly, your credit card cost is fairly high level compared to other banks, but you are obviously commuting some claims. So I'm just trying to get some feel for how much in the period did you take loans off your book and obviously took the hit for that. And the second thing that I struggle with a little bit on the bank is, your overdues keep on rising. Your special mention loans are also going up. But your NPLs don't seem to move too much. So how come these overdue loans are not moving into NPLs? So maybe you can give a bit of color on that as well.
Okay, let me answer the, thank you for the question. And your question about the credit card portfolio. As you can see, our credit card portfolio right now is reaching about 100 billion and it's increasing. And credit card, the way we position this product is we make use of this product to be a booking product to transfer the group customer into the bank. So we are going to invest in this segment. And we are also using this credit card to do a more robust cross-sell between our credit card and our debit card. So credit card is, we have been doing quite well since credit card, we have been starting to do this business a few years ago. So we have been building quite robust and fundamental, including the credit control and collection and marketing. And going forward, we are going to implement more stringent credit policy, like we are according to the macroeconomy, to tighten some of the industry or some of the customer segment or some of the area which we think the macro view is going to go through a more unstable environment in the coming few years. And then your second question is why we don't put the overdue into the non-performing loan. As you can see, our overdue loan we have been increasing up to the percentage of 3.2%. We have done a very clear and detailed analysis on this. The structure of this overdue loan mainly comes from the Eastern District, and it mainly comes from some of the industry that's under the problem, like the steel trade, the Goldman trade. But the reason why we are not putting them into the NPL is due to two justification. Number one, we have a very detailed look at those, and we find they have sufficient collateral. And the second thing is even in the not so stable industry, but we do have some very good enterprise under those industries. So besides the collateral, we also look at the management team, the way they do their business. And we are not putting them in the NPL because we truly believe that they are just undergoing a short-term liquidity problem due to the macro view again. So we are not hiding, but we want to give those good enterprise within a more volatile industry a fair chance. And we'll keep a very closer look to monitor. And we do have some several cases that by doing a more forward-looking analysis in each and every individual of those enterprises, we kind of call it a loan. So we, by doing this more robust and detailed analysis, we are able to keep our total non-performing loan under control. Thank you.
Sorry, the first question was on credit costs, not credit cards. So thank you for the detail on the credit cards. But the question was, I'm just trying to get a split of the credit cost in the P&L between, so the item I'm trying to get out of the total cost is how much was due to loans that you sold to other people and then actually used the haircut, so that came through the P&L. So the commuted loans and then the normal credit costs.
And you're talking about the
credit
cost. Oh, okay. Oh, so you're asking about our provision, right?
The split. So the credit card is the credit cost part. The 160 basis points was for the third quarter. Now, in your text, you mentioned you did commute a lot of loans during the period. So you sold them to the AMCs, etc. The Findas, etc. So some of the costs would have been due to the recognition of that because you're selling loans at a discount to what you're holding, so that's the item I'm trying to get a breakdown of.
Can you hold on?
So you say you disposed of 2.145 billion in in non-performing assets. I'm just trying to figure out what the credit card impact of that number was, or is that the number?
During the reporting period, we have recovered 2.1 billion, right? That including the credit asset of the loan part is 1.9 billion. And now that we covered the loan principal, 556 million were written off. And non-performing loan of 1,400 million were not written off. And the recovery loan, 89% of them were recovered in cash, while the rest was in the form of the processed assets.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got two questions on the investment income, if I can, please. The first one is just on marking to market. So you obviously had a very favourable market backdrop in the September quarter, and EPS went up 88%, so it almost doubled. Are you able to tell us what that would have been without mark-to-market gains? It's just not possible from the information you've provided to work out what the underlying earnings growth was for any of the businesses, let alone the group, during the quarter. And then I have another question after that, if I can, please.
Mark to market, if we don't sell those stocks, then it will not come into the P&L for most of the shares we hold. Because almost of the shares we hold is we classify them as available for sale at AFS. So of course, mark to market, they are going to impact the balance sheet, the net assets. But if we don't sell those stocks, then the unrealized gain or losses are not going to go into the P&L, but only in the first three quarters. In particular, in the first half, we took a quite large impairment of the stocks because due to the accounting principle, accounting rules, even if you don't sell the stock, then you incur unrealized losses for a long period of time or very significant, and you have to take in them and just bring those unrealized losses into your P&L. If you don't take in them, then it's not going to affect your P&L. And if you don't sell those stocks, it's not going to impact the P&L.
So the pickup in investment income was about $4.5 billion. In the third quarter versus the prior year. Are you saying that most of that was in net investment yield and that maybe bond gains or any other gains didn't drive the earnings result during the quarter?
I think so, yeah. For the third quarter only, yeah. I think so. With your big asset base, the other reason is your asset is growing, right? And also, as you can see, the net investment yield actually picked up quite significantly. This year compared to the same period last year.
Yeah, and that was going to be my second question actually, because the yield is going up very quickly. I think you said it was 5.3% for the 9 months, going up faster than most other companies and faster than I think most people expected. So I guess my question is, given your visibility into new money rates, where do you expect this to stabilise? Do you expect it to keep rising above 5.3? I imagine that it will, and that new money is maybe closer to 6 or above.
It's going to be hard to above 6. I think, even the check up of 10 or 20 basis points is going to take some time and effort. So I think for the next few quarters, I think the net investment is still going to pick up a little bit. I think the main reason for the increase in net asset yield is mainly from some of the debt schemes we have, which we have been invested, which we have been increased allocation. in the past year. Those vaccines, they basically had a yield over 6%, over 6% over like 5 to 7 years term. But of course, they are not as liquid as the bond, but they do help to enhance the net asset yield. But at the same time, I think currently our allocation is about 13-14%, and we are comfortable with that. So I think so some of them will do work, you know, when we invest them for only half a year during the first 3 months, then the next year they're going to contribute for the whole year, etc. They're going to still contribute some BTs, but I don't think we can increase the asset yield based on the current interest rate environment to 6%.
And just final question on that, because it looks like it was very strong just in the third quarter, given you're at 5.0% in the first 6 months of the year. Is there anything seasonal in the September quarter that would overstate the running yield of the portfolio, or should we take the September quarter as the new normal for Ping An heading into
the year? There is a little bit. For example, in the third quarter, you may get the annual dividend from some of the stocks, right? Dividend usually the Chinese A-share company, they usually pay dividends in the second quarter or the third quarter. So usually second, third quarter, their net investment yield can be enhanced due to dividend. But you rarely receive big dividends in the fourth quarter. So there is some seasonality.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Linda Birkin. Please go ahead.
Hello. I'm just outside, so apologies for the background noise. If you can't hear me, please do let me know. I have one question just regarding the bank. I noticed that your fee income from trust and wealth management products has grown very nicely, for like 150% year-on-year by the first quarter of 2014. I'm trying to figure out, you know, whether this growth is driven by the underlying volume of wealth management trust assets you sell or you issue, or whether it's because there is a fee expansion, i.e. the percentage of fee you take as a percentage of the asset volume is higher. If you can share some light on that, I'll be very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda, for the question. And why our fee income increased from the investment bank? So it really come from one is the consultancy fee by doing the M&A, and the second is from the wealth management product, the commission fee. That's the second part. And also we are also seeing that, you know, in investment banking, we have been setting up the resources in the bank in the past years. So the wealth management fee, we have been increased increased by 65%. So those are the two main areas, the wealth management fee, the channel fee, and also the consultancy fee on the investment banking services.
Hello, Amy, this is Linda again. I'm trying to clarify whether the fee increase is due to the volume of transactions, i.e. you do more business, or because the fee as a percentage of the volume is going up.
Both. It's the volume and also the categories of services they have been doing. So both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then one. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions, please press star and then one. Thank you. question, please press star and then one. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any question, please press star and then one. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any question, please press star and then one. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any question, please press star and then one. Thank you.
Thank you everybody who attended this meeting. If you don't have any more questions, so this will be the end of the telephone conference. I would like to thank you all of you again for joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you guys. Yeah.